very opening of the parsha, Kisesi l'mochama, Rashi makes the comment of Mochemes Rishus HaKosuv Medaber, that we're not dealing with the Mochemes Mitzvah, but rather a Mochemes Rishus. Rashi here doesn't tell us what exactly is the meaning of a Mochemes Rishus as opposed to Mochemes Mitzvah, and what in fact are the differences lahalacha. But even this comment of Rashi, that this opening parsha of Yifas Toar is limited to a Mochemes Rishus, is not necessarily the case according to all Rishonim. When the Rambam quotes these halachos, the Rambam is in Hilchos Malachim in Perek Ches, and the Rambam does not make any reference to such a distinction. And if you look in the Menchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Tavkuf Lamebeis, the Menchas Chinuch writes that according to the Rambam Shita, this parsha v'yifas Toar applies not only to Mochemes Rishus, but even to a Mochemes Mitzvah as well. What exactly is the definition of Mochemes Rishus as opposed to Mochemes Mitzvah? Rashi writes in the very beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Beis Samad Aleph, that Kol Melchama Kari Rishus, all typical war is labeled as the Mochemes Rishus, Levad Mi Mochemes Yehoshua, for the purpose of Kibush Ha'aretz. One noted exception, and that is Yehoshua Ben Nun, conquering of Eretz Yisrael, that is a Mochemes Mitzvah. All others are considered to be a Mochemes Rishus. When you look at the Rambam, in the Pirush Mishnayis on that Mishnah, there the Rambam writes, yes, that certainly is true, that Kibush Ha'aretz, the Shiva Amamim, that is a Mochemes Mitzvah. And the Rambam also adds another example, and that is Mochemes Amalek. Isn't Mochemes Amalek certainly considered to be a Mochemes Mitzvah? It's somewhat striking that Rashi does not mention this in Sanhedrin and Daf Beis. Rashi writes, Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That certainly is true. But isn't it clear that a model of a Mochemes Mitzvah, Mochama Hashem Amalek Midor Dor, is considered to be Mochemes Amalek as a Mochemes Mitzvah? Maybe one could suggest an interesting chiddush that, of course, Rashi agrees. To argue that Rashi treats Mochemes Amalek as anything else than Mochemes Mitzvah is quite, quite difficult. Maybe one could suggest something somewhat novel, but maybe Poshup Shat. And that is, when Rashi uses the term Mochemes Yehoshua, it has a twofold meaning. Mochemes Yehoshua, of course, is the role of Yehoshua bin Nun in conquering Eretz Yisrael, but maybe one could suggest that Mochemes Yehoshua is an appropriate term to apply to Mochemes Amalek as well. And maybe, therefore, that phrase in Rashi, simply, Mochemes Yehoshua, right, is exactly as the Rambam writes, Kibush Ha'aretz, but also Mochemes Amalek as well. Why would one indicate that that's true? After all, when you look in the very end of Parshas B'Shalach, there, the Pasuk says that Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua V'chalanu Anashim, that Yoshua was told, go ahead and establish, right, an army in order to go ahead and to defeat Amalek. And the Pasuk mentions, Vayachlosh Yoshua Es Amalek. There's a comment the Ritva has, the very beginning of Maseches Megillah. You know that the opening Mishnah, Beis Amad Aleph, there's a difference between a krach, a kfar, an ear. If you have a walled city, so in such a case, the Kriya Samagillah, like Yerushalayim, is on Tesvav, it's not on Yadalit. Mukav Choma as of when, not as of now, but it's Mukav Choma, Mimos Yeshua Binun. That's not always so simple, right? There are many areas now where it's somewhat questionable. Is this a ear or is this a krach? Was that city walled in the time of Yeshua Binun? That's a very fascinating lumdus as well, right? So how do you paskin when you have an ear which is a suffix mukav choma, a suffix in Kriya Samagillah? No? Is that a suffix midivrei Kabbalah? Is that a suffix derabanan? What would a suffix derabanan be? No? Also not that clear, no? So you don't read on your dalet because maybe it's tezvav, and don't read on tezvav because maybe it's a dalet, so don't read the Megillah at all. That's suffix. Or just arbitrarily, like pick a convenience, whatever's convenient, that's when you read the Megillah. No, or maybe in such a case you have to do both. No? It's an important din, a theme for a separate shir that the Gemara has himself in Kufes. We're not sure Rav Nachman had a suffix, which of the kosos require his seva? The first two or the last two? So the Gemara says, Hol v'yitmarachi. Since we're not sure, idi vidi bayasei. You have to say before all four kosos, all four kosos. So the Ran immediately asks, Sefen kuches, Yaseib is a din derabanan, and dalakosos. Dalakosos is derabanan. You have a safek l'chumra. Oh, so the Ran has a couple of terutzim. You know, one terutz of the Ran. What does safek mean? Don't do it for the first two, and don't do it for the last two. Don't do it at all. That's absolutely wrong. Just arbitrarily pick two. You can't arbitrarily pick two. So you're forced to do a seba for all four kosos. No? The Rambam writes that about a safek mukav koma. You have to read the Megillah on both days. On Yadalit and on Tezvot. Fascinating Indian, a side point. No? But the Ritva is bothered. Why in the world is the timing of mukav koma Yeshua bin Nun? You know the Ritva writes, Megillah Beis, because Haman is Mizaro Shalom Aleich. That's what the Ritva writes. Haman is Mizar Shalom Aleich, and Milchemes Amalek is Milchemes Yoshua. No, like, Yoshua is the one. So whenever we speak about Milchama Sheba Malek, Midor Dor, the Purim story, this is an expansion, a continuation of Parshas B'Shalach Milchemes Yoshua. So maybe it's not so far-fetched to assume that when Rashi writes that phrase, Milchemes Yoshua, it's not only a reference to, obviously, Kibosh Haaretz, but maybe even when it comes to Mechias Amalek as well. Interesting, interesting possibility. So those two are examples of Melchemes Mitzvah. The Rambam mentions another broader definition of Melchemes Mitzvah. This Rambam is in Hilchos Malachim, Perakei Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam writes, what is Ezel Melchemes Mitzvah? The Rambam writes, Shiva Amimim, Kibush Aretz, Melchemes Amalek. And then the Rambam adds another. That objectively is a Melchemes Mitzvah. And then the Rambam writes, Ve'ezras Yisrael mitzar shabaleim. And defense. Self-defense. No? All of a sudden we're being attacked. We're persecuted by an enemy. That's a Melchemes Rishus. To respond, that has the dinim of a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's an important chiddush that the Rambam writes. Ezras Yisrael, but also has the status of Melchemes Mitzvah. So, okay, Melchemes Mitzvah, as opposed to discretionary Melchemes Rishus, the Melech decides, you know what, it's time to broaden the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Melchemes Rishus, broadening. Is there a difference? What are the differences between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus? So the Rambam there, Perakei Hilchos Malachim, writes the following. Number one is priority, sequence, priority. Ein hamelech nilcham tchila el al melchemes mitzvah. Right, a melech has to go ahead and decide, okay, what do I do first? What do I do first? So the requirements are before the lectives. Well, so the Rambam writes, melchemes mitzvah. All of a sudden the melech is going to decide, you know what? I'm going to conquer Afghanistan. No, before I go ahead and engage in melchemes mitzvah of kibush haaretz. No, the Rambam writes the priority is clear. First things first. First Melchemes Mitzvah. That you must do. Afterwards, V'achar kach nocha Melchemes Rishus. Then, only then can you have that which is considered to be discretionary. Okay. So the Rambam writes, Halacha Aleph. The sequence, that's critical. Perkei Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, another Nafkamina. No? And that is the following. That Mishnah, Sanhedrin, and Av Beis. The Ein Motzin, the Melchemes Rishus, the need to consult and get the permission of the Sanhedrin. That's what's doing in Sanhedrin, that Beis. The Mishnah delineates the role of a Bezin of Gimel, of Chav Gimel, Ayin Aleph. One of the roles of Bezin HaGadol is that they have to permit you to engage in a Melchemes HaRishus. So the Rambam writes, that's only true when it comes to Melchemes Rishus. I don't need the formal permission of the Sanhedrin to engage in a Melchemes Mitzvah. A Melchemes Mitzvah. I have to ask the Sanhedrin whether to put on tefillin in the morning. Whether to eat matzah on Pesach. You're mechuyev to do so. You have to do so. So I don't need Netilas Rishus of the Sanhedrin. So the Netilas Rishus, ooh, the Rambam writes, is for a Melchemes Rishus, not for a Melchemes Mitzvah. So you don't need the Sanhedrin. Okay, that's clear. That's a Mishnah Mefereshes. What do you need? The Rambam writes, Ella Yotze Me'atzma. Ella Yotze Me'atzma. He just goes out. He goes out on his own. He goes out independently. Ooh, that's a chiddush. You don't need Sanhedrin. I understand that. That's a Mishnah. But rather, just go. Just go. This is so obvious that just go. Because maybe one could argue, no, not necessarily. If you look in the Ramban, this Ramban is found in the end of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Hosafos to the Mitzvos Lo Saseh. The Ramban has, of course, his running Pirush, right, on each and every mitzvah. And in the end of the Mitzvos Saseh, the end of Mitzvos Lo Saseh, the Ramban has, you know, the places that he disagrees with the Ramban. If you look in the Hosafos of the Ramban to Mitzvos Lo Saseh, there the Ramban writes, when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, you don't need a Sanhedrin, that's true. The Sanhedrin is going to tell you, follow the Torah. But the Ramban writes, you do need Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim. That you have to consult. You have to get the guidance of the Urim V'Tumim. You don't need the Psak of the Sanhedrin, but you do need the divine guidance of Urim V'Tumim. That applies even when it comes to a Mechemes Mitzvah. And that's Poshubshat and Rashi as well. Where is this Rashi? Parashas Pinchas. You look in Chavzayim Pasuk Chav Aleph, the Pasuk mentions that Lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod, go before Elazar HaKohen. Rashi writes, for the purpose of consultation of the Urim V'Tumim to go out to battle. And the context there of Pinchas Chavzayim is Mechemes Mitzvah. Mechemes Mitzvah. Poshu Pshat, right, in Rashi, like the Ramban, is you don't need the Sanhedrin, you need the Psak, but you do need guidance. You need the guidance, even when it comes to a Mechemes Mitzvah as well. So a Diuk in Rambam, but maybe more than a Diuk. The Rambam writes, you don't need the Sanhedrin, Ele Yotzei Me'atzma. Yotzei Me'atzma. Yotzei Me'atzma would be a very unusual way of saying that you have to get the permission of the Urim V'Tumim and you have to consult with the Kohen Gadol. No? So, an important diuk in the Rambam, that maybe the Rambam maintains that Yotzei Me'atzmo means a mitzvah, you run and you do. Even consultation Urim V'Tumim is not absolutely, absolutely essential. Okay? When you look in last Shabbos, it's Kriya Sator. In Dvarim Perachav Pasuk Yud, the Torah describes, you're going out to battle, you decide that you want to overtake the city, v'karasa eileha l'shalom. Perachah pasukid. You have to make gestures, overtures of peace. You don't just go in and destroy them. You go over to them and say, you know what, that under certain conditions, we can deal with each other. If yes, yes. If no, no. V'karasa eileha l'shalom. Rashi writes, and last Shabbos is Kriya Satara. B'mochemes Rishus HaKosef Medama. Also Mochemes Mitzvah, Shiv Amamim. We're going to deal with you. Amalek, we're going to deal with you. Mochemes Rishus. So that's when you have the Halacha of Sheila Shalom. That's what Rashi writes. It's just like Rashi writes at the beginning of this parasha. B'mochemes Rishus HaKosef Medaber. You know what? From last Shabbos is Kriya Satara. B'mochemes Rishus HaKosef Medaber. When it comes to the detail of Sheila Shalom. And that's against the Ramban. The Ramban, there in last Shabbos' Kriya Satara, says, no, even when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah as well, even when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, you have to go ahead and approach and make overtures and make gestures, even when it comes to the Shivamim. And you know what? If they agree to the terms, okay, we're good to go. If not, then Mochama. Then Mochama. That's a fascinating machlokas, the Ramban, the Ramban. That's a parsha. Is that only when it comes to Mochemes Rishus or when it comes to Mochemes Mitzvah? Again, when you look in the Rambam is clearly like the Ramban. The Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam writes that Ein Osim Mochami Amba Ba'olam. You don't wage any war. Unless you reach out to them. Anywhere. And the Rambam is explicit. Echad Mochemes Harashuz. Vechem Mochemes Mitzvah. The Rambam is explicit. Like the Ramban. That Shela Shalom is true when it comes to all circumstances. All circumstances. Right? They're very important. An important Chiddush. If you look, again, in Parsha Shoftim, at the Netziv, the name of Davar, the Netziv, there, Perachah, Pasuk Yid writes a fancy Lashitase. What is the Karasa Eile L'Shalom? What is Kriya L'Shalom? What's the deal? What's the deal? What is it that you are asking them to do? So the Netziv points out, it's fascinating, when you look in Rashi, look at the Rambam, they say different things. And that Netziv thinks that's Lashitase. Wow. Rashi defines Vikrasa L'Shalom means Mas and Avdus. Servitude and taxation. You're willing to agree to our terms? Okay, we're good with it. What are the terms? Well, you have to pay us taxes and you have to serve us. You're subservient to us. You're good? Fine. If you look in the Rambam adds another requirement. Yes, Avdus, Mas, that's true. The Rambam there writes, Kabbalah Samitzvos. You have to accept upon yourself meticulous adherence to the Shev Mitzvahs Beinoach. You have to lead a religious life. Rashi doesn't mention that. Rashi, the Kriya L'Shalom is civil. A civil Kriya L'Shalom. According to the Rambam, there is a religious dimension to it. You have to lead a Torah lifestyle. And the Torah lifestyle is Shev Mitzvahs Beinoach. Realize, these are seven categories. The Shem and Sinoch are pretty vast. Huh? The Ramban writes, Dinim. You know what Dinim is? All of Choshen Mishpah. That's like one Dinim, no? It's not one mitzvah. It's like everything is included in. These are broad categories. So that's a condition of Kriya L'Shalom. So then it's different. He thinks these are related. That Rashi understood from the Pasuk that Kriya L'Shalom means on a civil level, taxation, avdus, yeah, that's like, we're going to conquer Afghanistan. Okay, you know what? So if the people there are willing to serve us, willing to pay taxes, you know, okay, well, let's just say, no problem. We're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to tell one of the Zayin Umos, if you pay me taxes and serve me, you can remain. You can't remain. No, the Eretz Yisrael, you're going to remain. Eretz Yisrael has to be free of aveir. Eretz Yisrael has to be a religious state. No? So, what are you talking about? You're going to remain in the Ovid of Azar? That's not an option. That's an option in America. That's an option in Afghanistan. That's not an option in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi, who writes that the Kriya L'Shalom is kind of this civil relationship, Rashi writes, this is limited to Melchemes Rishus. The Rambam's Kriya L'Shalom also contains that religious component. No? You're going to adhere to all the mitzvahs that you're obligated in. So it's not surprising that the Rambam writes that could even be applicable to Eretz Yisrael. If a person is willing to live in Eretz Yisrael, but you know what? They're going to observe all the Sheva mitzvahs beinoach kedasu kedin. And that's what the Torah insists of them. So why would one say no? Fasting. It's not clear that the Rambam, that's all the Shitase, but that's a Chiddush of the Netziv, but a beautiful Chiddush. That maybe the starting point is, what is it that we're asking them to do? And then you can ask yourself, is that acceptable in Eretz Yisrael? Okay. That's a fundamental difference. Kriya L'Shalom. The Rambam now continues. This is now Perek Vav Halacha Dalet in Hilchos Malachim. What if they say no? You make this gesture, this overture, this is the deal, and they refuse. Oh, so the Rambam writes, now there's a difference between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus. A Melchemes Rishus, the Rambam writes, they say no. You know what the answer is? Conventional warfare. A typical Melchama. That's Melchemes Rishus. What do you mean by a typical Melchama? The Rambam writes, Ein Hargin, Isha, V'lo Katan, soldier to soldier. You fight a battle. But women, ktanim, they're off limits. They're off limits. But the Rambam writes, however, when it comes to the Shiva Amamim, when it comes to Amalek, what do you mean? Lo sechaya kol neshama. Timche, no? There, that does not follow the normal conventional rules of battle. There, literally, you annihilate the nation. You annihilate the nation. But the Rambam writes, that's a difference between Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus. Well, last week's parsha, the Torah mentions that there's certain exceptions of people that don't go out to battle. A person who's bona bayis, one who was just recently notei kerem, a person who is newly married, eras isha. Oh, so in such a case, then not. The Rambam writes in the next parak, Perek Zayin b'Hilchos Malachim. All those exclusions, only Mochemes Rishus. Mochemes Mitzvah. What do you mean? Hakol Yotzim. There are exemptions. A Chassan has to go to Mochemes Mitzvah. A Kala Mechupasa has to go to Mochemes Mitzvah. To some extent. No? It's always interesting. The Gemara very recently, now Kedushin of Beis, ain't darko sheishal asos machama, right? What is the role of a woman in a mochemes mitzvah? Is a woman chayiv in mechias amalek? Is a woman chayiv in the parsha of kriya sachar? No, in zechiras amalek, chinuch? No. The Rambam writes, but clearly all these exemptions that we just recently claimed. No, bona bayis, one who's notei akerim, eras isha. The Rambam writes only true when it comes to Melchemes Rishus. An important difference. That's the Rambam's fifth difference. The Melchemes Mitzvah as opposed to Melchemes Rishus. When the Torah tells us those are exceptions, those are exclusions, a discretion Melchemes Rishus, but not for one who just planted, just built, just married. Interesting question, no? One who does so. Can he join the forces? When the pasuk tells us those guys, Yelech v'yoshuv lebeiso, achiyuv or rishus, they're not obligated to fight, or they're not allowed to fight. No? The minchas chinuch is uncertain. It's pretty basic, no? Minchas chinuch and tavkuv chaval. Right. These are exclusions, these are exemptions. You're exempt, but you want to fight, be my guest. You don't have to. Or maybe you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. I mean, let's say the person who is, right, this guy who's just falling apart. No? Rach Levov, no? The guy is just, you know? There the Menachas Chinuch writes, it's mistaber that we're not going to let him. He'll ruin the whole morale of the troops, no? He's going to start entering the battle and he's going to go nuts, no? And he's going to start, you know, we can't do this, we can't, you know? We're not going to simply tell him that you're exempt. We're going to tell him, get out of here, no? This is not for you. So Menachas Chinuch writes that he thinks when it comes to such a person, you know, he's not fit to fight. So we don't even give him that option. But Menachas Chinuch is not sure. A guy just planted a vineyard, but he's willing to go. We say, you're not allowed to. Or do you not? So interesting. The Menachas Chinuch writes, he thinks it's clear from Rashi, unless Shabbos is Kriya Satorah, that you don't have the option. You're out of here. This is not just an exemption. You're not allowed to. Because Rashi says, not in Shoftim, in Chaf, Pasuk Zayin, that well, what's the problem here? What's the problem with these people? Pen yamos b'mochama. Pen yamos b'mochama. Maybe they'll die in battle. And they'll die in battle. Someone else will marry his wife. Die in battle. Someone else is going to cultivate his field. Die in battle. Someone's going to utilize his home. So Rashi makes an unusual comment. What do you mean, pen yamos b'mochama? Why should we assume that this person is going to die in battle? like he did something wrong. He did something wrong. You know, a guy is a real balaver, I'll say, you know, be careful, you're putting yourself at risk. And realize that, you know, you owe something. Why in the world would we say penyamos b'mochama? You know what Rashi says? Because lo yishma the divrei ha-kohen. And since he didn't listen to the kohen, kedai hu shiyamos. That's what Rashi writes, a brief comment, no? Why in the world didn't he listen to the kohen? What did the kohen tell him that this guy just said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. Men chasin achrayis, I think it's very clear, according to Rashi, that this is not an exemption, this is not a ptur. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. If this is just an exemption, but it's like a midas chasidus to fight, what do you mean, penyamos b'mochama, because he ignored, he went against? What against what? That he kind of opted in. That sounds great. No. The Kohen is telling you, you're not allowed to be here. Right? This is not for you right now. And he just kind of ignored. You know? They tell you to evacuate, and you decide, oh, I'm going to stay. No, so, okay, at your own risk. And there's what to be concerned about. So, min chasin achrayis, it seems for Rashi, interesting, that not only in the case of a person who, you know, is a rach levav, but even an otei kerem, a bona bais, one who marries, even there, indeed, that's true. But the Rambam is clear, these things only apply to Melchemes Rishus, not to Melchemes Mitzvah. Our Slavichik once suggested a lumdus. Why doesn't it apply to Melchemes Mitzvah? Why doesn't it apply to Melchemes Mitzvah? So Slavichik suggested a little bit of a twist. Maybe in principle one could argue it does. Maybe in principle one could maintain it does. Be'ikaron, yes. But you know why not? Because when the Rambam defines, for example, Melchemes Amalek, right, in Perakei Elok Adalim, the Fokas Malachim, the Rambam writes, or when the Rambam describes Shiva Amim, that's how the Rambam begins, Shiva Amim, Perakei Elok Adalim. V'chol Shiba Liyodo Echad Mehem V'lo Harago. And if you have a confrontation with any one of them and you don't kill him, you violate the law of Sachai Kol Neshama. That's interesting, no? The Rambam's discussing Kibush Eretz Yisrael, Melchemes Mitzvah, Zayin Umos. The Rambam writes, V'chol Shebo Liyado Echad Mehem. You know what it sounds like from that Rambam? That Kibush Eretz is a Chov HaSayachid. V'chol shebo liyado echad mehem. Rostovichik suggested that fascinating nuance. Maybe in principle one could have argued that if you're in this condition, you don't enlist. You don't enlist. You're not included in the Milchemes HaTzibur. But when the Rambam defines a Kibush Haaretz, maybe even Amalek, maybe it's a chovas yach. It's like putting on tefillin. It's like being Shomer Shabbos. It's like eating matzah. Maybe someone in that category is exempt from the dinei melchama. Maybe you are exempt from the dinei melchama. You know, in America, there are certain people that are exempt from the draft. Maybe these people are exempt from the draft, but you're not exempt from Shabbos. And the Rambam describes these battles as v'chol shabo liyado echad mehem, as a chovas yachid. A chovas yachid. So Slavetsuk suggested a possible lumdus, and that is that maybe category 3 of the Rambam, Ezras Yisrael, that's a din melchama. Ezras Yisrael, defending the nation. Maybe one could envision, maybe there would be a tour of Bonabayas or Ezisha and Otei Kerem. Interesting. Because it's not that it's an essential difference, but rather, it's not in the misgeres of the Melchemes HaTzibur. V'chol shebo liyado echad mehem. Interesting possibility. And now, Yefas Torah. Yefas Torah, the beginning of the parsha. So as mentioned, Rashi tells you the ABCs, B'melchemes HaRoshus HaKosim Medaber. But the Rambam does not write this. Especially, you see the Rambam like in context. The Rambam, Perakeh, Perakvav, keeps on telling you all the differences between Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Roshus. Here, when the Rambam writes this, the Rambam makes no difference whatsoever. The Rambam makes no difference at all. In other words, the Rambam writes that maybe the allowance of Yefas Tor is even in a Melchemes Mitzvah. Even in a Melchemes Mitzvah. In other words, in a case of Melchemes Mitzvah, let's say the Rambam's structure. We made a gesture, and they refused, and now since it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, lo sechaya kol neshama, but there's an exception of Yefas Tor. But you're allowed to go ahead and do, take Yefas Tor. Maybe one could argue, you know, that's the Chiddush of Yefas Tor. Maybe that's the Chiddush of Yefas Tor. You know, the Rishonim are all bothered. What's the Heter Yefas Tor? It's obvious in the Gemara Kedushin of Chaf Aleph that Yefas Tor is something that normally would absolutely be aser. But lo dibra hatar ela keneged yetzer hara. The Torah somehow accommodates. The Torah allows something that typically you would never, never allow. It allows something that you would never, never allow. What exactly is it allowing? What exactly is it allowing? You know, it's really unclear. It's clear from the Gemara. This is an allowance. Lo dibra Torah k'neitzah hara. The Gemara applies a principle maybe of holy shtar yishtari. What's the hipter? What's the issue that we're being mocked here? Believe it or not, it's not really clear. It's not really clear. What exactly is the issue? What normally you're not allowed to have a maisa bia with a nachris? You know, that's a very, 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 very chamur iser drabana. A very early iser drabana. But that's a lav daraisa. Is that so obviously a lav daraisa? So, for example, there's a ritva that comments, sometimes a bia nachris is a lav daraisa. That's Parshas Pinchas. Kanayin pogin bo. If someone is bo'al aramis b'farhesia, mamish b'farhesia, there, you see from Parshas Pinchas, no? That already, a hilchasa. Kanayim Boginbo. The Ritva writes the following Chiddush. Here, it's not that there's a Maisa Bia Befrahesia. It wasn't like Cosby and Zimri, no? But a woman is being taken publicly from the battlefield, and people know it's for that purpose. The Ritva writes a Chiddush. That also is called Bia Befrahesia, and that's called Kanayim Boginbo. And that's why you need a Heter of the Krah, a separate Heter. But that's Chiddushim. Chedusha. Well, you know, when you learn the sugi of Yefas Tor, Kedushin Daf Chaf Aleph Beis Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, you know what Rashi Shita is? It's 2 days in Yerushalmi. You know what Rashi Shita is? When the pasuk says Vacharken Tovlo Be'alta, and afterwards a Ma'isabi occurs. After what? After what? After what? You know what Rashi writes? It's unbelievable. After Geirus. After Geirus. That's Rashi Shita. The whole allowance of Yefas Tor is only after she's Megayeres. That's Rashi Shita. Lengthy Ramban in the beginning of Parshas. Kiseitse. The Tosus and Kedushin Daf Chaf Beis, 2 days in Yerushalmi. When does this Maisa be occur? Let's say Tosus Sushita. The Maisa Bi occurs immediately. And afterwards, then you have the whole process of Yefas Tor. So there is a Bi with the Nachris before Geirus. Okay, the Ritva, maybe that's like Kanayim Bogin, but realize Rashi Shi. The whole Heter Bi is only Lachar Geirus. It's a little bit striking, but you need a Pasuk for that. But the Pasuk is you can marry a Geiris. That's the whole Heter Yefas Tor.
There's a lot to discuss. No, Tosfos says the kasha. According to Rashi, what's the iser? That lo dibra Torah kani yitzahara. You know, one could argue, according to the Rambam, maybe there's a simple teretz. You know what the heter ifas Torah is? It's a blatant exception to lo sechaya kol neshama. Because the Rambam assumes this applies to a Mechames Mitzvah. A Mechames Mitzvah where there were overtures of peace, but you know what? They were not interested. And now the Torah says, everyone, lo sechaya kol neshama, and this is a Chiddush Akra, that this is a built-in exception, an exclusion to lo sechaya kol neshama. Maybe that's part of the Heter Yifas Torah. But Rashi writes, this whole parsha is only Mechames Rishus, clearly against the Rambam, People don't realize that, but it's an important machlokas. And here I'll tell you seventh difference. This is Parshas Matos. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin. The Torah tells us how to wage battle. The Torah tells us when you fight against your enemy, you're not allowed to surround him. Pretty unbelievable, no? You're not allowed to surround him. Vayitzbu al Midyan kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. We wage battle against Midyan, but only as Kadosh Baruch Hu told us. So that's kind of striking, no? You're waging battle. You can't corner the enemy. The Rambam Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, Hilchos Malachim. Kishitzarin ala ir letofsa. You're going to go ahead and attack, wage battle against a city. Ein ma kifin osa me arbaruch oseha. You're not allowed to surround it. You can attack the enemy on three fronts, but you can't surround the enemy. Shenemar v'itzval midyam kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Mipi Hashmua Lamdu Shek Bechach Tzivavu. That's Alpi Hashem. That's our tradition. That's pretty fascinating. When does this apply? You can't surround the enemy. And why? Like, why exactly? Why can't I surround the enemy? What's wrong with that? Din Daraisa, the Rambam writes. Now, Ein Makif Nosa. One is not allowed to go and do that. So, Amin Cheschinach, Tavkuv Chavzayin, Midasasam HaRambam, the fact that the Rambam says, no, you can't do this, Amin Cheschinach writes, sounds like it applies even to Mechames Mitzvah. When you look in the Radvaz, and that Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, Radvaz writes, absolutely not true. This is only when it comes to Mechames Rishus. Not when it comes to Mechames Mitzvah. Radvaz writes, this is the seventh difference between Mechames Mitzvah as opposed to Mechames Rishus. Are you allowed to surround the enemy? Can you corner him? Or not? It is interesting. The Rambam writes this explicitly in Makif and Elsa. In Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam does not mention such an issue. Vayitzba Midyan. The Rambam doesn't count that Minyan Mitzvah. See what the Rambam writes this before, it's Nisa Daraisa. And guess what? This is a Hasag of the Ramban. The Ramban, in the end of the Mitzvah Saseh, the Ramban says, the Mitzvah Sheshacha Charav. The Mitzvah, don't forget to count. And among them, the Ramban writes exactly this. The Rambam says no. The Ramban writes it's a mitzvah. Well, there's a so you look in the Ramban. Take a look in the Hosafos. Mitzvahs say hey. Ramban writes like amazing chedushim. Number one, he writes, it's only by Mochemes Rishus, not by Mochemes Mitzvah. Oh, like the Radvaz, against the Minchas Chinuch. Then number two, Minchas Chinuch raised the fine cut. How can the Ramban say it only applies to Mochemes Rishus, Mochemes Mitzvah? The context of Pasuk is Minyan. Isn't that Mochemes Mitzvah? When the Torah says to battle Midian, I would argue not necessarily. Because maybe it's only when there's an Isser of Losachayak on Neshama. That doesn't apply to Midian. But the Ramban raises a very fundamental issue. Like, what's driving this halacha? What's wrong with surrounding an enemy? What's wrong with that exactly? The Ramban writes two unbelievable possibilities. What's wrong with surrounding the enemy? Ramban writes, number one, because the Torah insists, lihisnahag bechemla af im oyveinu. You have to fight like a mensch. That's what the Ramban writes. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's necessary to wage battle, but you have to do so with compassion, with the midas harachamim. So you have to allow them an escape. You can't surround them. You can't do so. You have to fight a battle ethically. You have to fight a battle morally. You know? You read the Israeli army, no? They're about to demolish the Rishayim. They send all these leaflets, no? Better leave because we're gonna destroy this building. No? And United Nations has the chutzpah to criticize Eretz Yisrael. Now, that, you know, what other army acts with such chemla, with such chemla, no? And they poke. It's mind-boggling. Right? How can that be? How can that be? But the Ramban writes, number one, li snag bechemla. Rav Pam writes in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, no? It's like, the Gemara is in the very beginning of Avodah Zarah. That, there'll come a time, you know, all of a sudden all the Ummah Solom are going to see, you know, we emerge. That we're right. Everything they did was crazy. You know, we attacked Klal Yisrael, we did this. The Gemara has in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis. So all of a sudden the Muslim come forward and say, you know, what do you mean? We attacked Klal Yisrael. The only reason we did this was for that. The only reason we did this was for that. No, we built bridges, we built cities. It was all for the Swiss of Klal Yisrael. No? They're coming retrospectively in the revisionism, saying, we did all these things. You know, we built a city all made for Klal Yisrael. No, we built, Madison Square Garden, all only for the Siyum HaShas. Everything we did was, the Laman Hashem. Laman Hashem. Good, good, good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show them that wasn't... It's true. It's true. That a piece of the Brisker Rav has. Enoch Ganami, it's true. But that wasn't your intent. The Gemara doesn't say that what they said is wrong. Well, what they said is right. Everything that happens is Laman Hashem, Laman Yisrael. But that wasn't their intent. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show them that you're not being honest. You're shakranim. That wasn't your intent. So Rav Pam just writes one line in the Zagari Kotzes Gemara that there's going to come a time Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to show the ledger, right, to the Ummah Solom, right, that no, you did this, it's obvious that you were not motivated Laman Hashem Laman Yisrael. And Rav Pam just adds one line, and that is the sole reason for the establishment of the United Nations. That's what he writes, no? That's why we have the United Nations today. You know? That there should be a permanent fixed ledger, you know? That the Muslim should see, right? The loss of love. No? You voted against this, and you veto that, and you associated Zionism with racism. No? You're going to come forward and say that everything we did was Laman Hashem? Well, that's a pretty powerful line. Huh? That's the only purpose and justification of the United Nations, not to have a permanent record, to be able to see that what it was doing. So the Ramban writes that now that you see that lehisnag bechem leyaveinu. That's it. Now, so you can't surround the enemy. You can't take such advantage.
You can't take such a damage.
Then the Ramban writes in Inami. The Inami is like, almost in a very opposite sense. You know what? This is tactically appropriate. You know, when you're fighting an enemy, you have to allow them a way out. You know? You surround them in three ways, but there's an escape. You know, they're going to run, they're going to flee. That's it. If there's no way out, you're not giving them a choice. They're desperate. There's no escape. Their back is against the wall. They're going to have no choice but to fight. You know, in life, sometimes when your back is against the wall, you muster unbelievable kochos, no? Unbelievable kochos. Well, you know, if you have an option, but when you realize that, you know, right here there's no choice, you know, you act heroically. The Ramban writes in his second daya, maybe that's why you have to allow the Mosolim a way out. No? Sheyivrchu v'lo yischazku. That's the lesson of the Ramban. Because let them just run rants and let them run fearful. As opposed to saying we have no choice and all of a sudden they're going to go double down, triple down and attack with more vehemence. Interesting, no? The two reasons to explain this halacha, what's wrong with surrounding an enemy. Minchas Chinas suggests a chiddush, but it's not so simple, that if it's the first reason, then that would not apply to Melchemes Mitzvah. Because what do you mean? Nisnad bechemla with osachaya kon neshama. The Torah insists. You have to do that. If it's the second reason, this is the most efficient way of tactically fighting a battle. So, if that's the case, maybe that could apply even to Melchemes Mitzvah as well. This is the most efficient way of defeating our enemy, to allow them an escape valve, as opposed to there's no escape valve, things explode. No? It's a chiddush. Maybe one could argue that maybe it's the second way, but you know what? You don't have the option of an escape valve because the pasuk says, Lo sechai kol neshama. Right? In Mochemes Rishus, you can allow them to run away. In a Mochemes Mitzvah, you can't allow them. Maybe a general will tell you, this is the most efficient way, but I'm going to tell the general, you're overruled, because the Torah says, Lo sechai kol neshama. You can't allow them to escape. But it's a Minchas Chinuch writes, but it's fascinating, that Ramban, fascinating. That chiddush that the Ramban writes. The Meshech Chachma assumes that according to the Ramban, the second pshat is right, that surrounding, not surrounding, is a tactical issue. And that's why the Meshech Chachma writes that the Rambam writes this in Hilchos Malachim, but isn't counted in Sefer HaMitzvos. This is part of the Tachsisei HaMochama. This is part of how you wage war. Not as a mitzvah, but simply as a strategy. And strategy is not counted in Minyan HaMitzvos as one of the Targ Mitzvos. Interesting possibility. I would suggest that aside from like these many, many details, that the Parsha of Fastor I often mention is probably one of the most important Parshios that informs Avodah Hashem. It's not that Fastor comes up like so often, but nonetheless, the Musar Haskel Yifas Torah is something that is one of the most relevant messages to day in and day out of Avodas Hashem. See, because one of the significant challenges that people think they face when it comes to Avodas Hashem is that, maybe sincerely, but they feel that what they're being asked to do is beyond their reach. I understand the Torah says all these things, but you know what? I'm incapable. That which the Torah is demanding, maybe for him, but not for me. At Aran and Dharma Dav Ches, you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah, maybe he has to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. You have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. You have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. How is that possible? I see him this year on Masechta Sukkah. How is that possible? Now, all of a sudden, you know, that's the time that people all of a sudden adopt the Midas Ha'anava, no? When they're asked to do something. Me? I have to do so. Right? That the Midrash writes is the meaning of Lo Bashamayim. Ki karov lecha davra mod, v'ficho levav chalasosa, and parashas nitzavim. Now that, yeah, by definition, if the Torah obligates you, it's accessible. If the Torah expects, it's within reach. How can the Torah demand something that's beyond your reach? How can that possibly be? That's what the Midrash writes. You know, the greatest raya muchachas, the Torah is not b'shamayim, is because man was not created with wings. No? If the Torah was b'shamayim, it means it's beyond my reach. I can't access. Well, of course, it's inaccessible. Ki karav alecha hadavar ma'od. That's the greatest raya muchachas. Because how can it be that you're asked to, but you don't have the tools to be able to accomplish? How can that possibly be? Imagine you're taking an exam and you're being tested on something that is beyond. So that would be a very unfair measure. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the most fair. For Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell you that there's an expectation of A, B, C, and D. By definition, it's within your reach. You may not feel that at this point in time it's something that I can. Okay, yeah, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yudei HaKol. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is acceptable. And what is the greatest Raya Muchachas? This is true. You know, the answer is Yifas Tovar. Because Yifas Tovar is a dire situation. It's something which is B'shas Melchama, when a person's guard is down, when emotions are running very, very high, where the climate of Melchama is beyond. Today we read about all these syndromes, no? That people come years after returning from battle. The Torah recognized that the battlefield is not at all an environment conducive toward. And what does the Torah do? The Torah tells us, when you're in a situation where the expectation is unrealistic, you know what the Torah does? It accommodates. It creates a hetter. Hold history. Lo dibra tor el ken yetzer hara. The Torah gives you, if as Torah is a model of accommodation. When you're in a situation, and it's true that the expectation is beyond, you know what the Torah is going to do? It's going to lower the bar. It's going to accommodate. But that's an exception that proves the rule. That's the Musar Askim, no? Whenever that's not true, whenever the expectation is in place, and there is no heter mafurish per krat to tell it's not here, guess what? That expectation is a realistic expectation. And you're expected to do so. If there wouldn't be something such as Yifas Tovar, it's almost like, okay, maybe. One could wrongly think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, never accommodates. What do you mean? If the halacha accommodates, you're absolutely right. So you know what? Pikuach nefesh is delchi surim. Sometimes only tzrich manapatrei. But if there is no halachic accommodation, that means beficho levav chalasosa. So there's no accommodation for bitul Torah. There's no accommodation for not taking like life and davening seriously. There's no accommodation for, you know. So it means you have to do it. You know. But it's something that you struggle with. That's okay. You know, that's amibus. You know, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you in that way. That's L'chach Nazart. You were created in order to persevere. You were created to go ahead and to kind of overcome. No? But it's really not up to you. No? Ben L'tov Ben L'ra. When a person succeeds in life, it's not because of Kochi Votzim Yadi. It's because of Siyata Deshmaya. So in life, you position yourself. And you set the halachic goals. So the answer is that there's a goal of Kol HaTaraku, you set that as your goal, you know, and you work. That's exactly what the Medrash writes. That Medrash from Parshas Nitzavim, like it's unbelievable. The Medrash describes exactly in this context. There are two people that are starving. They walk into this palatial structure, right, the citadel, and guess what? There's a cathedral ceiling, and food is suspended from the ceiling. So the Midrash writes that the Tipesh is out of there, no? This is beyond my reach. Beyond my reach. Right? But the Pikeach says, Vahalo mitala osa. Someone put it there. No? That's the Medrash writes. Someone put it there. No? I guess that means it's accessible. Like, someone put it there. So I kind of have to figure out like how he got it up there, and I'll be able to access it. No? And that's what the Midrash Rabbah goes on. A Parashat Seven to write is true when it comes to Avodah Hashem and Esek B'Torah. Like it's beginning of Sechta, it's like, you know, like how in the world are you going to... So the Midrash writes, you know what? V'halo mitalo so. You know what? You look around, like, you see older Talmidim, you see Rebbeim, you see, you know? They were able to learn these sukkahs and to know the Masechta. They weren't born that way, no? That they kind of, you know, worked at it with a sense of amelus and so on. It wasn't just a natural gift. And they emerged. So you know what? You can do the same thing. And that's exactly what the Medrash writes. Just one blot at a time. Don't work on one sukkah, one blot. All of a sudden you emerge. You emerge. No? That's the Medrash writes. But that, I think, is the most enlightening takeaway of Yifas Torah. That when push comes to shove, the halacha accommodates. And if there is no accommodation, it means that it's a realistic expectation, which is acceptable. It's within your access, it's within your reach. It's probably one of the most important lessons for Chodesh Elul. Now, if the Torah demands tshuva, it means tshuva is realistic. How can I possibly? Not how can I possibly. The Torah doesn't say you're exempt. If the Torah doesn't build in such an exemption, it means that, yeah, the expectation is a realistic one. How do you do it? The answer is, Dirush Hashem b'matzo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there to help you. No, there's nothing wrong with getting help. But a dismissive mindset that, like, this isn't for me, or this expectation somehow applies to others, right? That's mamash keneged entire hashkafa satar. No? And that, I think, is an important lesson, an important takeaway of the concept of Yifas Torah.